You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Mitch Trubisky officially won the Chicago Bears quarterback competition, but it turns out Nick Foles was at a bigger disadvantage than we knew. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for BearsWire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we will hear Matt Nagy's reasoning for selecting Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback for Week 1, and some of the obstacles Nick Foles faced in the quarterback competition. We'll also check in on this Bears 53-man roster cutdown and look at some of the biggest surprises and changes over the weekend. And we'll wrap up with a look at the newest member of the Chicago Bears, defensive lineman Mario Edwards Jr., as well as why this roster could still change more before Week 1. ESPN insider Adam Schefter spoiled the Bears' big announcement by reporting Mitch Trubisky would be the starter on Saturday, and then Matt Nagy made it official and confirmed all that officially on Sunday, that Trubisky had won the quarterback competition over Nick Foles. They continue to stress how open of a competition it was, how it was ultimately a difficult decision to decipher between the two, but ultimately they feel the most comfortable going into this strange 2020 season with Mitch Trubisky again as their starting quarterback. And Matt Nagy had some interesting things to say, some interesting color to add to the situation, both in terms of what Mitch Trubisky did, but also a little bit more about what Foles' situation was like coming into this. But let's start with what Mitch did to win the job, and then also Nagy's endorsement at the end here. Judge it for yourself. How strong of an endorsement do you think this is from Matt Nagy?
What I think was most impressive from the end of the season until this past weekend was to be able to see some of the growth in practice and off the field that Mitch had. He decided to just control what he can control. He didn't worry about distractions. He didn't worry about other competition. What he did is just tried to worry about getting better as a quarterback. Now, with that said, right, we need to do that on game day. And that's where, when you lose the preseason games and you lose some of the OTAs, you lose some of that evaluation process. But for him to come through like he did, I'm excited for him. We are really excited for this team. You have an opportunity here to have a really, really cool story. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But you have somebody that's been through a lot in the sports world, had some highs and has had a lot of lows. And he's worked his tail off to now win this job and have an opportunity to prove a lot of people right. If you struggle, you know, seeing that and understanding that, then that's your own opinion. But here we are. And now here he has an opportunity, and let's see where it goes. And now he has the ball and he's able to do what he wants with this. And we're going to all support and surround him and give him every opportunity to have a very happy ending.
The two lines that stuck out there the most for me from Matt Nagy was, is it going to happen? I don't know. Followed by, let's see where it goes. Neither one of those is a super strong saying, we think Mitch is going to be great. He is going to lead us to the playoffs. We think this is the best quarterback that's going to absolutely carry us where we need to go. It's more like, we picked Mitch. We're going to support him. We're going to give him every opportunity to be successful and then keep our fingers crossed. I mean, that doesn't necessarily sound like the most sure-minded decision. And I think it's a very clear indication that the leash will be short on Mitchell Trubisky, and that as soon as the mistakes start piling up a little bit too much, they won't hesitate to go to Nick Foles, especially because Nick Foles will be more ready by then. And Nagy admitted as much, that maybe Nick Foles was at a little bit more of a disadvantage in this competition than they might have initially thought.
I look back to, I think y'all asked me this question months ago before we I think while we were kind of in those Zoom meetings, somebody asked me, they said, do you think that not having the OTAs and possibly a shortened training camp could hurt Nick? And I said, no, I don't think so. But I do think that because of circumstances of having less time on the field, which is some timing for him and wide receivers, and just the comfort level of learning some of the things that we do. Now that I look back, I think that that probably affected some things. And then you have a shortened summer with training camp as well with reps, but that doesn't discredit or take anything away from Mitch.
So as much as the Bears did well to give Foles and Trubisky an equal opportunity, both had the same number of reps, both had even splits with the first team offenses, Mitch and Nick weren't necessarily starting from the same point. And so to that extent, it shouldn't be too surprising that Mitch was the week one starter. And that's sort of the reason why most of us expected Mitch to be the week one starter. But it sort of lends credence to the idea that maybe 6, 8, 10 weeks into the season, if Trubisky isn't playing that well, Foles will have that much more practice time with his teammates to be able to come in and play at a higher level, pick this team up and try and lead them to the postseason, the way we've seen him follow that same narrative multiple times in Philadelphia. Until that happens, this is Mitch's team, and it's up to the other 52 guys on the roster to lift him up, to carry him, to do their part as he tries to do his part and put really either quarterback back there in the best position to be successful. We'll take a closer look at all the guys who made this initial roster and some of the surprising guys who didn't next on Locked On Bears. We're less than 7 days away from having new Chicago Bears film to break down. And thank goodness we have NFL Game Pass to bring it to us on our own time. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays, or see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with their condensed games. It's your opportunity to relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Eddie Jackson, Akeem Hicks, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Predicting the 53-man roster, even in a normal season, is pretty much impossible. So in a pandemic season with no preseason games and no practices open to the public, maybe it was a little bit of fool's errand for us to try and do it on the podcast last week. All things considered, I think we did pretty well, but there were a couple of surprises there that I don't really think any of us saw coming. The big one, of course, was cornerback Kevin Tolliver not only straight up released, but not retained on the Chicago Bears practice squad. He instead opted to join the Denver Broncos practice squad, which shouldn't be too much of a surprise given the reunion there with Vic Fangio. But it sounds like with Tolliver, obviously you'd expect him, you'd think then he didn't have a very strong camp, but also it seemed like there was some talk from a mental standpoint that maybe he wasn't as dialed into the playbook, or it just wasn't clicking as well for him as the team would have liked. So instead, they release him. They keep Duke Shelley and Kendall Vildor as the backups. We had talked on the preview podcast that it didn't seem like there was room for both of those young guys with Kevin Tolliver in the mix, but instead, he is out of the roster. There's a possibility the team still could replace him with a veteran like Prince Amukamara, who is still available. So none of those bottom of the depth chart cornerback spots are necessarily safe and locked in just yet, but they do have Sherrick McManus with that versatility to play both backup safety and backup cornerback. I was also a little surprised to see them stick with five tight ends once again. Eric Saubert and J.P. Holtz making it at the bottom of the roster. And Holtz was one we had expected. I guess I would have put Saubert ahead of Horsted, given the way that Nagy had talked about him. But interested to see them go with five there, even though everyone seems to be fully healthy. You know, they kept five in the past with Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen because you couldn't rely on them from week to week very well. But it seems like they have a lot better depth at tight end, and doesn't seem super necessary to keep five at this point. But if J.P. Holtz ends up playing a lot of fullback, I can certainly understand it there. On the offensive line, we were right that they would keep nine offensive linemen, but it was that ninth guy that we weren't too sure about. We knew the backups, Jason Spriggs, Rashad Coward, Alex Barrs, pretty well locked in, but they ended up giving a spot to one of the rookie seventh-round picks, Arlington Hambright out of Colorado. Instead of, I had gone with Sam Mustafa from Notre Dame, so they would have a true backup center on the roster, but for now, they don't. It's Cody Whitehair, and there's no real backup center, but James Daniels would obviously fill in that role if something were to happen to Cody Whitehair. But Hambright was a hybrid guard tackle for the most part at college. No word either way that he's been playing any center or anything at practice, but a lot of that information isn't allowed to be reported anyway, so I'm kind of curious to see how that offensive line depth chart ends up looking. At outside linebacker, they had some tough choices to make to fill out the bottom of that depth chart. We knew, you know, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, Barcavius Mingo, they're your 1, 2, 3. That was never in question. But then you had the foursome of Isaiah Irving, James Vaughters, Trevis Gibson, and Ladarius Mack. And ultimately, they chose Vaughters over Irving, which was a little bit of a surprise, given how long Irving has been in this organization. I think this would have been his fourth season in Chicago had they kept him. But instead, they go with Vaughters, who was the preseason standout last year, and they keep their fifth-round pick, Trevis Gibson, who it shouldn't be too big of a surprise, given how excited they were to ultimately land him in the NFL draft. But no Ladarius Mack. It shouldn't be a huge surprise that he didn't make the 53-man roster, but they didn't even give him a spot on the practice squad in a year when it's a 16-player practice squad. No outside linebackers at all, actually, on this practice squad. And 10 of the 16 spots went on offense, 5 defense, 1 special teams. Tells you how they feel about their depth on each side of the ball, but it's a lot of names you might expect. Quarterback Tyler Bray, running back Artavis Pierce. 3 wide receivers, though. Rodney Adams, Reggie Davis, Thomas Ives. They brought back Jesper Horsted. 4 offensive linemen at this point. Says something, too, about their offensive line depth. A lot of guys that have all been sort of around the organization, including Sam Mustafa and the 7th-round pick, Lechavius Simmons. A couple of defensive linemen, Lakel London and Abdullah Anderson. Anderson was one that I would have put on the 53-man roster, but instead they replaced him with the veteran that they signed, Mario Edwards, who we'll get into here a little bit more in a moment. And then 1 inside linebacker, Rashad Smith, a couple of defensive backs, Steven Denmark and Xavier Crawford, as well as the kicker, Cairo Santos. And Santos is also a name to keep an eye on here because this roster is not necessarily set yet for week 1, because in this 2020 season, the NFL changed up some rules, not only for the practice squad, but also for injured reserve, that gives every team a lot more flexibility, and it wouldn't surprise me to see the Bears make a couple of moves in this area, if not add another couple of veterans as well. We'll explain the impact of these new rules, as well as a little scouting report on what Mario Edwards Jr. will bring to this defensive line next on Locked On Bears. The Bears need Mitch Trubisky to be back and better than ever, just like our friends at Built Bar. They took the best tasting protein bar ever and somehow made it taste even better. Like, I was eating these every single day before they redesigned. They got a new logo, a new label on their product, and it's even a slightly different consistency and flavor inside that's somehow even better than before. I can't get enough. I go through them way faster than I should, especially the new flavors that I love. Caramel brownie and cookies and cream are both can't miss. But all of their flavors have can't miss macronutrients too. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. And I'm not lying when I tell you it tastes just like a candy bar. It sounds too good to be true, but I promise if you try it for yourself, you will not be disappointed. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, Locked On, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. This Chicago Bears roster is far from set before week one. Even the addition of Mario Edwards Jr. here after the waiver deadline from the New Orleans Saints, he's not officially a member of the roster until he comes in and passes two COVID tests and has to go through some of that same process that all the players did at the beginning of training camp, and every player has to do it when they change teams at this point. So we'll see how ready he is to go for week one, but I would imagine he could be an inactive player to start as he sort of gets up to speed in Chuck Pagano's defense. But he will be a valuable addition to this defensive line rotation, especially without Anderson Abdullah. He's a guy who was a second-round pick out of Florida State, really known for having some great physical tools, but had some off-the-field concerns in terms of not being able to keep his weight in the right range that they wanted him to, and maybe wasn't as disciplined of a worker, but really strong physical player with good explosiveness and some twitch bend off the edge. He's like 6'3", 280, so he's not, you know, Leonard Floyd quick twitch bend, but for a guy that size, he can move in some ways that not a lot of human beings can. But the problem with him that was at Florida State continued through his early career in Oakland, then the Giants, then the Saints, now the Bears. The reason why he's now on his fourth team in the last four seasons is that he hasn't been able to fully put it all together and dominate or win consistently. There'll be times when he makes great penetration, both in the running game and as a pass rusher, gets in the backfield and makes a play, but he's not that well-rounded in terms of his skill set and being able to win in a lot of different ways, so that once offensive linemen kind of figure him out, sometimes they can pretty well silo him and siphon him, and you know they latch on and he's not able to kind of get that separation that you would like to see. But a lot of his value comes from that skill set of physical tools that gives him some versatility. So throughout his time in Oakland and all the way through New Orleans, he's played everywhere from nose tackle to straight up outside linebacker. It's not like a true outside linebacker position, but he can line up, or he has lined up, standing up, two-point stance, outside of the tight end, wide, in the same spot that Khalil Mack would. He's lined up with three, you know, a finger in the dirt at that nose tackle position over the center. He does most of his work in the Akeem Hicks role, that five-technique defensive end by the offensive tackle, or that three-technique defensive tackle up by the guard. He's not going to be a major player, but he's going to be a rotational guy. Think sort of like what Nick Williams was able to bring to this Bears defensive line last season. Maybe not to the extreme production that Nick Williams put together all of a sudden last season. It was a career year for him. I wouldn't expect Mario Edwards to quite hit that same benchmark, but what Nick Williams was supposed to be in Chicago, a rotational guy who could play different spots up front, fill in where you need him to, and bring a little bit more experience than a guy like Abdullah Anderson, who was just an undrafted free agent a couple of years ago. So really, I think in this defensive line depth chart, with the five other guys on the roster, Mario Edwards is going to be number six. I mean, he's going to be the last of the guys to get fed in terms of playing time. Brent Urban has a little more experience, not only in this defense, but in the NFL, a little bit more consistency there. Akeem Hicks, Bilal Nichols, Roy Robertson Harris going to be your top three guys. Plus, John Jenkins going to be your primary fill-in nose tackle. So there's a spot for Edwards here. There's some perhaps untapped potential there, but I would keep expectations low. Think of it more as a versatile fill-in guy. But he's not going to be the last change we see to this Bears roster before week one. If I had to put my money on it, I would expect either another veteran free agent brought in, or more likely, a player placed on injured reserve. Because the NFL changed their injured reserve rules this season and made them very loose in a way that will really benefit every team, but the Bears included. Because normally, you know, at the beginning of a season, you can place a player on injured reserve and you can bring back two of them after, what is it, like eight weeks in the season. You can bring them back from injured reserve, two of them. Throw that out the window. This year, you can put as many players as you want on injured reserve and reactivate as many as you want after 3 weeks. All they have to do is be out 3 weeks before you can reactivate them again. So it's kind of like the disabled list in baseball now, except instead of 15 days, 3 weeks would be a 21-day disabled list. And so somebody like kicker Eddie Pinero, for example, dealing with a little bit of an injury, has been limited through training camp. you could throw Eddie Pinero on IR, activate Cairo Santos from your practice squad, and then when Eddie Pinero's healthy, even if it's just 3 weeks, bring him back, put Cairo Santos back on the practice squad, however you want to do it. You can get away with kind of shuffling players around in that way. So, you know, if David Montgomery's injury were more serious, I would bet he would be a candidate for that. But at this point, it's possible Montgomery could still play in week one, and they're not going to put him on injured reserve for 3 weeks when they know it may only be 1 or 2 weeks at most before he's able to return. But just given how many different players on this Bears roster were dealing with some of these minor soft tissue injuries throughout training camp and those practices, I don't think we're going to see a big name player get thrown on this IR, but it's a great way to kind of stash some guys and, more importantly, not have to waste roster spots on injured players who can't contribute anything right away. There's no more just holding on to a guy because you don't want to throw him on injured reserve because you know he's going to come back right away. You can just send him away for 3 weeks. A 3 week minimum is all it has to be. So all of your sort of minor nagging injuries that just need a little bit of time away, this is going to be great for every team in a COVID-19 season to be able to cycle a lot of guys through. And I would imagine we'll at least see at least one other change before the Bears play the Lions on Sunday. You can be sure that any major transaction they make between now and then, we'll have you covered with all of the details right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you subscribe on whatever app you're listening to right now to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Tomorrow, I'll be teaming up with Larry Dyer from the Bears Talk Underground podcast, and we're going to do a little bit of a full Chicago Bears season preview, so be on the lookout for that. And then by Wednesday, we'll have injury reports, updates on David Montgomery, and a whole Lions preview coming for you this week with Crossover Thursday this year with Matt Deary from Locked On Lions, that also coming down the slate. So we'll have lots of good guests for you, lots of great Bears content coming your way. And as we inch so much closer to real Bears football on TV again, no more Sundays without NFL football until February, I believe, and no more weekends without the opportunity to bear down.